The Web's Michael Smith. It's episode 55 of Kane's Cast. You know what that means.
What's that?
Neither of us can drive this, and there's no slowing down.
Well, this is like the season one finale of Kane's Cast, almost.
Just about. Yeah. I mean, when are we going to officially say season one is capped?
I think we could say it. I think this might cap season one of the podcast.
Because you're out next week, right?
Out next week. The next week after that, we'll have to kind of figure out because of Labor Day and Media Day here and Traverse City sort of all making that week quite busy.
We might throw out just a quick little bridge, yeah. Kane's Cast. That could be the last episode. Say goodbye to season one or the summer. And let's get ready for the start of the regular season and training camp.
Or we could briefly set the table for the upcoming season.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. Yes, stay tuned for episode 56.
And, folks, this is how the Kane's Cast works. Michael Smith and I, he comes in with the web and everything else, and we're like, okay, we'll just figure this out as we go.
Yeah, just bring it with me on my shoulder.
You do.
Yeah.
You carry it in a very nice sack right behind you.
Got Al Gore behind me. Just in case something goes wrong.
Well, he invented it. I'm glad he's there to fix it. So I was wondering who that was all these episodes standing behind you.
Yeah,
now
he's just
I know.
Been here.
All right. A few things, speaking of the internet or TV or things that you can find out. Everybody this time of year loves to do lists, Michael Smith.
Ooh.
The best of or this or most improved or however you want to look at it. And there are a bunch of them out there. One that I'm following on The Athletic, which is, I know, it's a pay website for folks who are out there. We've been spoiled for the history of the internet again, and you can thank the Web's Michael Smith for that, that most everything had been free.
Including this podcast.
That's right. It's
incredibly
free. So enjoy. So we'll do the best we can here. But Corey Pronman, and I believe that's how Corey says the last name. My apologies if I'm mispronouncing it. Corey, if you're out there, he does great work on scouting and the draft and young players and amateur players and how teams are filling up and stockpiling their systems. Well, he's putting out the 1 through 31, the best systems in hockey right now, as they're talking about players that are under the age of X and they have no more than 25 games played in the NHL. So this is how he is ranking the farm systems in the NHL. So you can actually have guys who've played in the league but have only played like a handful of games, like Valentin Zhukov would be part of the farm system for the Hurricanes because he's not officially to what the standards are here, 25-plus games, years in the league at that.
Makes sense.
So it does. Well, right now, if you're a Hurricanes fan, this is what you should be excited about, Michael, is you've put out 22 teams right now, 31 through 9. My math is correct. That is 22 teams. And the Carolina Hurricanes haven't been released yet. And he's counting backwards from 31, the weakest farm system, to the strongest. By the way, the weakest was the Washington Capitals, but it does make sense because they have traded away lots of things in order to try to win and finally win a Stanley Cup. The thing I like about this is you keep looking at this list, and the Metro Division is represented all basically outside of the top 10. The New York Rangers, the Philadelphia Flyers clock in at 11 and 12. Then you've got the New Jersey Devils coming in at number 20. Then you've got the Columbus Blue Jackets at number 25. Then you've got the Pittsburgh Penguins who are on this list. They're at 23. I skipped over them. And the Washington Capitals at 31. So that leaves one team left in the Metro Division that doesn't have a farm system that has been represented yet, or two. I don't think the Islanders have made this list.
Yeah, so. Not yet.
Well, they will.
So the Hurricanes and Islanders are left. Where do you think the Hurricanes might land?
Maybe top five.
Yeah?
Maybe five.
That's what I think. They're somewhere around that five, six, maybe seven.
Where would I expect them? Four, five, six.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if they were three, maybe even two. I would be surprised if they are seven or eight. I think that their systems are better. Their system's better than the Islanders right now.
Yeah, and you have to consider, too, Andrei Svechnikov, even though he's expected to make the big club this year, is definitely a part of that system.
Well, all of the draft picks are part of this.
Right. Martin Nechas, those are two huge pieces that definitely would boost, I suppose.
They could
the
do
Hurricanes.
Both.
Yeah, they could do both. But for this purpose, they probably boost the Hurricanes ranking in the prospects rankings.
Boast, boost, and buoy, if
Ooh.
You will.
the three Bs.
Exactly, Michael. But I like this list, and I think what this needs to do is point out that the way that the organization was going, what they needed to do was stockpile, and that was done. And we've talked about this several times here on the CanesCast, what Ron Francis was charged in doing as the general manager and how he had to rebuild. And now the pieces that are in place for new majority owner Tom Dundon and Don Waddell and the collaboration to put these pieces in the right places or use them to get better pieces to make the NHL product better. But anytime you are listed with a farm system that's in the top 10 of anything, that's always good. It's, to me, the lifeblood now of hockey. It's not veteran players anymore the way that it used to be. It's you've got to get young guys in, young guys you can control their salaries for a long time, and we're talking the business of hockey now. But you can control their salaries, and they're on the upswing as opposed to in free agency now, in the way that the NHL is structured, you're paying for a guy who you're probably only paying for 3 or 4 prime years that you're going to hand out an 8-year, 9-year contract to. So that's what you're taking a look at right now, and that's, I think, where it's set up for the Hurricanes. They have a bunch of young players. Now let's see who develops, who can plug into the right places that they need to have them play.
And reading through Pronman's sort of tiers of prospects that he ranks, you know, I have to think Svechnikov and Natchez at least figured to be high-end prospects,
yeah,
if not elite prospects, which Pronman defines as to be in the top 10% in the league at their position. A special prospect, maybe as
he said, he only has one right now.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So not interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
And it, remember, it's,
and that
it's
makes
guys
sense.
Who it's guys who have played less than 25 NHL games.
Right.
So the one he kind of hinted at is the guy who went number one in the NHL draft.
Style. Yeah, and that makes sense because that person projects to be one of the very best their position in the league. And according to everything we've heard about Dahlin, he has very high expectations.
Yeah. So remember, this list excludes players who were just drafted 2 years ago, like Austin Matthews and Patrick Laine, don't show up
right.
And impact the farm system for Toronto and Winnipeg the way that Marty Natchez and Andrei Svechnikov will for the Carolina Hurricanes, or Jake Bean does. You know, any first-round pick that the Hurricanes have who haven't played a lot of hockey yet, those guys project to the farm system for the team. But I think it's a really good spot to be in. And, you know, we talk about this organization, Michael. We're going to find out if two young guys can make an impact in the NHL this year, because it's something we're going to, I can promise you, talk a ton during the season. The development and the play of Martin Natchez and Andrei Svechnikov. And as those guys get it figured out in the league, I'm not pinning this season on those two turning into all pros, but what I am pinning it on is they're players. They can contribute because you're going to need them. We've talked about it before. People have asked us, how do you replace Jeff Skinner's goal production? You need those two guys to find a way to help replace that. And I'm just excited for what the future holds. Plus, you still have a bunch of young defensemen who are trying to knock down the door. Those are all, in the poker game of the NHL season, those are all chips that you want to be able to play. And the Hurricanes have a bunch that they can put in. And I'm always encouraged when I see lists like this. Your team, if it's in the top 10, you got a lot of things to like about the future of your team, where it's heading. Now it's just keep them on the path, make sure they develop and turn into that.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get a real good idea of how Svechnikov and Natchez might look together when they take the ice in the NHL Prospects Tournament in Traverse City here in just a couple of weeks. The Hurricanes obviously participating in that tournament again, won it a couple years ago. I would say have a good chance of winning that tournament again this season, especially with the offense they're going to have up in that tournament with Svechnikov, with Natchez, with guys like Julien Gauthier, who have been there before. Jake Bean has been there for a couple of years now. So they've got some good experience, some really good young talent, and should be able to compete for a spot in the championship game. We always say, you know, anything can happen in such a short tournament when you're playing 3 games and then head into that final 4th game. But the Hurricanes are sending a very good team. And, you know, I think we could see one of those guys, Svechnikov or Natchez, really step up and be a force. And if that happens, they should come into training camp just riding that high, and hopefully it continues from there. So it should be an exciting tournament to keep our eyes on.
You've covered a couple of these Traverse City tournaments now. Is there a time where you can look back, and hindsight's always 20/20, Michael, but is there a moment where you look back at a young player where maybe you didn't have a book on him or weren't really sure, and you saw him at Traverse and you went, okay, this guy can project into something?
Victor Rask is the one that stands out for me. A few years ago, you know, obviously heading into his rookie season in the NHL, I'm not sure if he was as much of a slam dunk to make the NHL roster at that point in early September. But after his performance of that tournament and then throughout training camp in the preseason, you say, okay, you know, this guy's ready to take that next step now. And I think that's always what you hope to see from guys like that who you think might be on the cusp,
yep,
might be ready to take that next step. You hope to see something when they're skating against their peers and sometimes even guys who have played a full season in the AHL. And if you see that they can hold their own, and not only hold their own, but produce and be dominant, that tells you, okay, they're probably ready to take that next step. And Victor Rask did that coming into his rookie season in the NHL. You know, we obviously have expectations for Svechnikov and Natchez to make the NHL roster, but if they can go to Traverse City and produce and be effective and be dominant and take over games, that bodes well for their future and for the Hurricanes' future as a team, most especially this year, you know, heading in with such a young roster. I think if we see big things from those two in Traverse City, we can expect equally big things here this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not pinning on them to make the All-Star team.
No.
And score 50 goals apiece. That'd be lovely if they do.
Yeah, well, it would be great.
It would be.
That'd be a Calder Trophy for sure, I would have to imagine.
I'm going to be a little bold going, that'd be a playoff season for the Hurricanes,
yep,
if that happened. But I'm excited to see their development, see what they turn into. All right, let me put you on the spot, and I don't know if this is.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
But maybe it is now.
Okay.
Thank you, Will Ferrell.
Thank you.
What I'm asking here is there any player in Traverse that you can see that can take a huge step up and maybe make the roster like Victor asks? So if you like it, you go ahead and you keep it. If not,
I'll send it right back. I think we have to disqualify Natchez and Svechnikov for the purposes of this exercise.
Fair enough.
Just because.
And you did a good job explaining what we want to see out of them if we're Hurricanes fans following the team, tracking the team, covering the team, that they're going to play together. Is there going to be that kind of chemistry that can carry over to once training camp hits and actual NHL games?
I think a guy like Nick Waugh or Alexi Sorella or Julian Gauthier even, who have been around this team, this organization, this tournament for a few years now, I don't know if any of those three make the Hurricanes team out of camp, just with the way the depth chart shakes out. But they could at least, I think, improve their standing and maybe make a case to stick around for that last preseason game here at PNC Arena on September 30th, or make their case to be one of the first call-ups in November or something when you have a guy get injured. I think, you know, the future is bright for those three players, I think. I think they're all going to have, they're all going to be relied upon in Charlotte this year to have productive seasons. But if they could come out in Traverse City and have excellent performances, I think that helps them going into camp. It maybe helps their confidence a little bit. And, you know, again, they don't have to make the team, but maybe they make the case to stick around for a little longer, or be one of the first call-ups. And I think you could say the same for Janne Kuokkanen, who made the team out of camp last year, played four NHL games, and is maybe in that group of players who are knocking on the door of, you know what, they could be ready here soon. So those four forwards, if you look away from Svechnikov and Natchez, could have something to prove to both themselves and to the Hurricanes that they're, you know, talented members of this organization that are close to being ready to taking that next step.
I'll give you a name that I'm going to be interested to see how he fills out. I'm glad you brought up Nick Waugh. For me, it's anybody who plays center who's going to be at that tournament. Morgan Geeky is a name that I think we're going to hear a lot more of, and I don't know if a lot of Hurricanes fans and casual fans who listen to the Canes cast, thank you for doing that.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know how many people are familiar with what Geeky brings to the table, but I liked him this year, again, at the prospects camp.
Yeah.
He can score.
Yes.
And, you know, goal scorers find a way. I'm pretty sure it was Geeky versus Natchez in the little video that you put out.
Yeah, it was.
Where I had the...
In the neutral zone.
Where I had the comment that I didn't realize my commentary was going to happen. But yeah, Morgan Geeky is a goal scorer. Mm-hmm. And guys like that, if you can start to find a way to do it at every level or do it in that tournament, that's something to keep your eye on. So I don't think that he earns a number one slot on the top six with the Hurricanes this year, but he can really put himself in good footing with the organization, with, because I think he's got to make the jump to the Charlotte Checkers this year. Yep. And what he's going to do.
Yep.
That's one of the things that I'm going to be looking for.
The other thing, too, that's intriguing is the Hurricanes have a number of invitees for various reasons. Some college prospects that will already be back in school, or some European prospects won't be making the trip over for camp and so are just staying in Europe. So some of the roster is filled out with camp invitees, or at least tournament invitees. But something to look for is Jake Bean. You know, he's a first-round pick from a couple years ago. He'll be heading he'll be turning pro this year. So, you know, what can this tournament do for his game? I thought he stood out, among the defensemen here in prospects development camp, and rightfully so. He's been here for a few years now.
He and Adam Fox, I think, stood out.
So what can this tournament do for his game? How can he prove himself to this organization heading into his first professional season? Because, you know, I don't know if we see him up with the big club this year. He's got, when you look at the depth chart, he's got, you know, some people to jump over. And the Hurricanes already have 7 NHL defensemen on their roster. But it's certainly not inconceivable to think that he might put on a Hurricane sweater this season. Hayden Fleury, in his rookie season, he spent the entire year in Charlotte. And I think that was good for him and his development. So if that happens with Jake Bean, that's nothing to, that's nothing to discount. In fact, I think it's probably a positive for his development. But what can he do in this tournament to show us how he has progressed in his development?
Before I go off on a sidebar, because I think that's a really good point, what you bring up about Jake Bean or young defenseman spending some time in the AHL, let's just kind of streamline this. So I'll kind of not re-ask because we know what we're talking about here. But one of these players on this roster, not named Natchez or Svechnikov, will be on the opening night roster for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Ooh.
Wow, you actually did the Will Ferrell. Ooh.
I'm going to send it back.
Okay.
Just because, I think the depth chart the Hurricanes have depth.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
And the NHL depth chart's kind of full.
And I think for the Hurricanes to have two teenagers jump into their roster is big. And I think those two are going to do it. Does a guy like Yanne Kuokkanen or Nick Waugh or Alexi Sorella, do they stick around for a week or two? Potentially. But, I think it's best served for them, I think, to play regular big minutes in Charlotte. I'm going to send it back. I think there could be some challenges, some tough decisions, but I think ultimately that's who you're going to see make the roster.
Fair enough. By the way, it is episode 55 of the Canes Cast with the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
And here's the sidebar. And while I do this, you can maybe come up with a like it, keep it. I know that you won't. But unless you're a really special talent on the blue line, and we're hearing, what Rasmus Dahlin's going to be for Buffalo, few guys have been able to do this and jump right into the league. This organization had a guy way back in the Whaler days, and that would be Chris Pronger, that you could just jump right in as a teenager and play on the blue line. It's a hard thing to do. What Aaron Ekblad did it in Florida. So I'm just giving you those names. I always think it's better. That's the one position, because you are going to have guys who know how to hit you and get to spaces and have been doing it for a long time in the NHL, and they do it better than anybody you've ever played against. And if you're a teenager and you are not ready for that, you're going to look bad on a lot of nights. So a player like Jake Bean, or even in your, you know, 20s, your early 20s, I like the go and play against the AHL guys, the guys who could play in the NHL, but there's a reason why they're not, and let's see how you play defense against them. And if you show that you're ahead of the game there and you're fine, you're more ready to play in the NHL. But, man, I've seen a lot of young defensemen get thrown onto that NHL ice, and they are not ready for what comes at them.
Yeah, it's a huge jump whether you're going from college to the NHL or juniors to the NHL, or even coming over from Europe and trying to adjust to the smaller ice. It is an adjustment. And playing in Charlotte in the AHL allows, even going back to a guy like Hayden Fleury, who up here basically plays even strength minutes, might see a little time on the PK.
Yep.
But in Charlotte, he's a guy who plays top defensive pair minutes. He plays power play. He plays PK. So he's getting all of that experience, learning to play in all situations. That's only going to better him as a player as he develops. So, yeah, I think the AHL as a development tool, especially for defensemen, is important. And that's why if Jake Bean or a guy like Michael Fora, who is coming over from Europe, spending time in Charlotte, allowing them to develop their professional game there, I think is only a positive.
The other thing about it, too, there is a difference about strength, and I'm not going to call it old man strength, but 18-year-olds who can play juniors and you're playing against guys your size.
Or smaller.
Exactly. You don't – they're stronger today. The kids today, like I see them, and I have to use that term as the kids today, they're not built like, you know, 17, 18-year-olds when you and I were in high school. And for you, it wasn't that long ago. And for me, it was about dinosaurs were roaming the earth. But, you know, nobody looked like that. You had to be strong because those dinosaurs would come right after you.
Yeah.
Just saying. But it comes into a point. By the way, dinosaurs and man didn't exist together. But
oh, they didn't?
You get the reference.
Jurassic Park was not a documentary.
Well, I mean, at that back when I say years ago.
Okay.
Although maybe I am referring to Jurassic Park because that's been a long time too.
I never know.
So anyway, to the sidebar, I just think that there's a difference between being strong and showing that against an 18-year-old where there's always guys, oh, he did this in juniors. Yes, he was doing it against kids his age. I can't tell you how many times there's been the one kid on your block who dominated everybody when we were all 15, 16, but he stopped growing and everybody else did, or other guys learned how to get bigger and faster and stronger, and that guy didn't. So there is a difference to put a guy on the ice and see how it translates. There are a very, very select few that are able to do it, but don't rush a guy, and I'm with you. I think in the Jake Bean case, this would be a really smart play to have him play down in Charlotte. And the way that the Canes are stacked on the blue line right now, you don't need to rush a guy up
there. Right, exactly. It's not you could look back at the case of Elias Lindholm when the Hurricanes, I think, needed a forward like that to step into their lineup. And I think you could argue that he might have been rushed into the NHL.
Oh, I think it delayed his growth as a player. I really think it I think he's said that at times, too.
Yeah, but the Hurricanes aren't in that position now on the blue line where they don't need to rush anybody. So you have a guy like Jake Bean spend a year in the AHL and develop, and they were able to do that with Hayden Fleury, too. So now they have seven NHL defensemen on their roster. They have guys who they can seamlessly move in and out. They have call-ups available like Trevor Carrick, like Roland McEwen, guys who have some NHL experience already. So they're in a good spot where they don't have to rush the development, and that's only going to help their farm system grow in value.
Do you have a like it?
Well, yeah, we can move on to another list.
Ooh, more lists!
Yes, more lists. That's the off-season. It's just a bunch of lists.
Episode 55, the lists.
We've got lists. The NHL Network's doing this thing where they're counting down top 20 players at various positions. They've done defenseman Dougie Hamilton, of course, making that list. They did top 20 wings this past Sunday on NHL Network. No Hurricanes to be found on the top 20 list or the on the bubble list, the five on the bubble.
Now, was this like specific left wing, right wing, or just top 20 wingers?
Yeah, just wings.
Okay. All right.
So if you like it, take it. If not, send it back. But the Hurricanes should have had representation on that list, either the top 20 list or the five on the bubble. So you could say top 25, I suppose.
All right. I'm going to keep it. And I'm going to keep it and put a Kane player, a Hurricanes player, in the top 20. I would have shuffled somebody down. For this list, by the way, I knew what's going on. We talked before a little bit of improv here.
We did some show prep.
With Michael and me. We'll do the list real quick. And if there's somebody who you feel shouldn't be on this list in place of the Carolina Hurricane player that you and I have in mind, Hurricanes, Hurricane player.
Or Hurricanes.
Okay. If there's a player on this list in place of Sebastian Aho, because that's who I believe you and I are going to put
And
in this top 20.
We'll make the caveat that while he might project as a center, he has spent the majority of his career at wing.
Yes.
So for these purposes, we're slotting him in as a winger.
Of the 150 games he's played, plus games, he's played the majority at wing. So number one was Nikita Kucherov. We're not arguing right now with the – we're just going to read them in the order that they were selected, 1 through 20. Not going to argue should they be higher or lower. Nikita Kucherov, Alex Ovechkin, Taylor Hall, Patrick Kane. You've got Brad Marchand. Okay.
Yeah.
He's a great player.
He is.
Just the other garbage. Patrick Laine, Claude Giroux, Jamie Benn, Blake Wheeler, the bread man, Artemi Panarin, Vladimir Tarasenko, Johnny Gaudreau, Phil Kessel, David Pastrnak, Philip Forsberg, Jakub Voracek, Antti Rantanen. No? All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an interesting one.
Rickard Rakell, Brock Besser. There's my challenge flag.
Had a good year.
Victor Arvidsson. That's the top 20. Then the bubble players are Jonathan Marchessault, TJ Oshie, Evander Kane, Jonathan Huberdeau, and Anders Lee. My challenge flag's on Brock Besser instead of Sebastian Aho, because Brock Besser is a rookie. He's only done it for 1 year, and he was really good, but he also was injured, so it's an incomplete picture of that whole year, where we've seen Sebastian Aho for two seasons get better. He improved from his rookie year to his sophomore year, and he's going to get better this year. I think that Sebastian Aho should be on that list over Brock Besser. And if you want to move Besser down into the on the bubble, because he's going to be great out there in Vancouver. I think that we all see that there's a special player that Vancouver has, and you want to swap out somebody else, you can go right ahead, and I'm not going to get into who should and who shouldn't. But I would have put Sebastian Aho on that list instead of Brock Besser. That's my keep.
Yeah, that makes sense. Rantanen's an interesting argument because he had a great 2017-18 season.
Yes, he did.
What, more than a point per game player? But, you know, does it translate? You know, he spent really two whole seasons in the league, and I guess we're making the same argument with Sebastian Aho.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering when you would raise the hand, or you and I both agree on Brock Besser. That's where we would swap that out.
Those last five, I think, is where you start to see the most. And, you know, you could probably rearrange the first.
Like I said, yeah, they put him in those numbers, but Besser is the name that I looked at, and I'm like, no, I'd put Sebastian Aho on that list right now.
Yeah.
And look, it's meant to cause debate, and it's done it, so thank you, NHL Network.
Exactly.
But
yeah, he's at least has to be on the bubble, I think. But, yeah.
And I'll admit, I am being a little biased that Besser's a rookie who made this list.
Yeah, the list
who didn't score 55 goals or didn't score 45 goals. I mean, he had a monster year, and it would have been bigger if he didn't get hurt.
And there's a bit of recency bias on this list, too, which I think is kind of the point, because these are the top 20 players at the position right now. So you do probably weigh the 2017-18 season most heavily. And so, yeah, I think there's a bit of recency bias with guys like Besser, with guys like Rantanen. But, yeah, I think you could make the argument for Aho to be somewhere.
Look,
I think
he scored 29 goals last year in 62 games. That's fantastic. It really is. And he's got 33 for his career because he played 9 games at the end of the season before. So We know he's going to be fantastic. But, man, to say he's in the top 20 right now? Like, let me see one more full year before we do that and make that leap. Like you said, Rantanen had a fantastic year. There is recency bias, but then there's also a few players on this list where you're like, how much name recognition?
Yeah.
Look, I like Phil Kessel a lot. Is Phil Kessel even on that borderline of a top 10 winger anymore in the league?
And does he benefit from who he plays with, too?
Well, absolutely he does. And don't get me wrong, Phil Kessel should be on this list, but if we were going to go by the numbers, does he go there? And that's all. And look,
and is Ovi at two? Like, you know.
Yeah, or why isn't Ovi at one?
Right, exactly.
You know, you can make these cases. And yes, it is the Canes Cast hosted by two employees of the Carolina Hurricanes. We make no bones about that, but we try to be fair and we try to be honest. And if I'll be perfectly blunt, if I felt that there wasn't a player who should be in the top 10 or top 20, I'd say that. No, they don't have anybody at that right now. When the goalie list comes out, I will have a hard time saying, oh, yeah, the Canes need to have one of their goalies right now in the top 20. I just will. But it's also a thing where this one, to me, give the guy who's been in the league for 2 years, who has really produced, and he's produced well with a fellow countryman, Teuvo Teravainen, who maybe we could make the same case for Teravainen with how he's grown the last few years. And I'm not trying to say that Brock Besser won't be on this list or won't be one of the best players in the league next year. But if we're doing the top 20 players right now based on what they've done, or are we doing it based on what they're going to do? Because who else do we have on this list that we could put there?
Yeah, exactly. Because then you could make the case for a guy like Andrei Svechnikov.
Exactly.
Maybe he makes the list next year, or at least gets to be on the bubble.
Yeah.
We'll see.
No, for me, I think that Sebastian Aho should have made the list in place of Besser for right now. And Brock Besser, I'm sure he's going to have a long, long career where he's going to score lots and lots of goals. But for this moment, no. The guy that I turn to, I would put Aho on that list.
It's a fair argument.
And I think part of that, too, is like when you say there's recency – we get to watch Sebastian Aho every night.
That's also
and
true.
See a lot of the little things that maybe he doesn't get credit for.
And I mean, I won't speak for you, but I didn't see Besser a whole lot. I didn't see the Canucks a whole lot. So.
No, I to be perfectly blunt,
saw him twice.
Yeah, I mean, saw him in Vancouver, and you know, then he gets hurt. I mean, I've seen the highlights of him, and he's going to be amazing. And I've watched him play for Team USA. By the way, Team USA is just really compiling an unbelievable roster. And once again, it's going to be great when we're the hockey power of the world. Sorry.
Coming soon.
Sorry. Sorry. Just that's where my nationalist feelings come through in the whole hockey scene.
We got a question. We didn't ask for questions, but we got a question.
Sure.
And we love questions. So if you ever have a question, just tag it with Canes Cast. Send it along to us.
This you need to ask it because you seem
no. I got distracted for a second. Because speaking of lists, Sebastian Aho just ranked 18th on Sporting News's top 25 under 25.
So there you go.
So
it was Brock Besser in front of him on that list.
Probably. Oh, he's ahead of Mikko Rantanen. I'm looking at this list in real time.
Okay.
Yeah, he's ahead.
No,
of
that's
Mikko
what we
Rantanen.
Do. That's so, what we do.
Yeah, so the question.
Did I say Antti Rantanen? Yeah, it's Mikko Rantanen.
Yeah,
forgive
Mikko.
Me for that. I was
Antti's the goaltender.
Think of Antti Raanta, yeah, exactly.
Probably won't make the list of top 10 goalies.
No, I'm going to agree with that. So
most of us have cut the cord on cable and satellite. Can you explain how Hurricanes fans can watch home and away games via streaming? Looks like they're using DirecTV Now and a Roku player.
Ooh, Roku. Well, I'm on TV when these games are on. So.
That's true. You don't need to watch the games. You're a part of them.
I don't know if you are a George Carlin fan. I know you're a big fan of comedy, Michael Smith.
Mm-hmm.
George Carlin had a line of, people would say, I want to unplug. He goes, plug me in. Give me every plug you can possibly have. Yeah, that's kind of how I am with TV. I could do, and I understand the value for the cutting the cord, and I get what people have done. It just also seems to me a large pain in the rump. I use rump.
Rump.
You're welcome.
We're censoring ourselves on this podcast.
We're bringing, and I'm going to bring Rump back.
It's very family friendly.
That's what we do.
Yeah, Rump Shaker.
Thank you.
The old hit from, I forget who sang it.
I think it was L7?
Or Rexxon Effects.
Rexxon Effects. Yeah. What did L7 do? I'm going to figure that one out, too.
So, but, yeah, we've looked at it, too.
Yeah, it says Rexxon Effects right in the beginning. I'm upset about that. But, like, cutting the cord usually becomes one of those problems that is, you know, for me, we got to move to this TV and that TV, and we're going to take the Fire Stick out, and we're going to put in the rotating. Okay, fine. I just want to turn on the TV and then have channels.
We looked at it recently and decided against it as well, but definitely understand the arguments. The one thing, it is getting kind of...
Definitely not L7, by the way.
I think the cable companies are kind of figuring it out, and the internet's becoming more expensive, and you definitely need some quick internet in order to be able to stream at an acceptable rate. But it's a definite possibility. Lots of people are using it, and luckily for Hurricanes fans, there are lots of options. So, again, neither of us do it, but we know plenty of people who do. We've taken a look at the options. You can go with YouTube TV. You can go with Hulu Live TV. You can go with Sling. I believe it's the blue package. Double check on that. And I believe DirecTV Now also has it as well. But those platforms, those streaming platforms all carry Fox Sports Carolinas if you're in the Fox Sports Carolinas viewing area. So you will be able to see most of the Hurricanes games. There will be, of course, the one on NBCSN in March, and then a handful. There were 7 last year, still to be determined for this year, games on Fox Sports Southeast. That's an alternate channel. So it's not carried by any of these streaming services. You can only find it on your standard cable and satellite providers. Yeah. But if you have a friend who has cable or satellite, or if you...
That'd be me, but I'm not going to be home for those games.
Also,
so.
And same with me. Or maybe it's a Cool Bars game, or you have a watering hole that you prefer. They should be able to have that game on for you. Those would be your only hiccups. You might be looking at 5 to 10 that you have to get creative with, but most of the games will be on Fox Sports Carolinas, and you will be able to find that channel on the popular streaming services like YouTube, Hulu, Sling, and I believe DirecTV Now as well. So there are plenty of options. I think each streaming service operates a little differently, whether they have an app that you can cast to the TV via Chromecast or Apple TV or Roku Player. They're all different kind of solutions out there. If you're looking to cut the cord, but you will be able to find the Hurricanes. And if you can't find them on television, you can listen via the Hurricanes app. Always has the audio stream available. I would say NHL TV, but I don't think if you're in market, I don't think you can get
the in-market games on NHL TV.
So that would be a solution for out-of-market fans would be NHL TV, which is actually a pretty handy app because you can watch it on any device anywhere. So... those are your options. There are plenty of options now, and more options, I think, than there were even a year ago. I think as streaming services become more popular, you start to see them amass these channels, and eventually they'll be just as expensive as cable.
There you go. Then you'll have to record instead of cut the cord.
Yeah. It's interesting the way the cut the cord...
Or plug back in. I can't say record. I was like, because... And people would be like, record what?
Yeah, that makes sense. Plug back in.
Thank you.
But it is interesting how it's gone because I think initially it was pretty cost effective to cut the cord and go with a Sling, for instance. But now as rights to these channels become more expensive and internet becomes more expensive, you're starting to see, I don't know if it's a bell curve or what, but it's the cost of cable and internet versus streaming services and internet is getting closer and closer to an intersection point.
Wow. That's
why just a broader view of technology at the moment. But
that's why he's the web's Michael Smith, just sitting there staring at you with a blank
I'm sure
look.
Someone could tell me I'm wrong. I'm sure I
I'm
might
sure
be
someone
wrong.
Will. Trust me. That's fine. And you can do that. We're okay with that.
But there are some good options out there if you're looking to slim down a bit on your cable or satellite package.
And one more question. This from Eric Lundoy. It's topic for next week's CanesCast. It's to me. The funny stories of fans behind the desk, I'd love to hear about the ones that made you laugh and the ones that annoyed. Okay, I'll give three real quick. And honestly, I don't pay attention to what goes on behind the desk. I don't see it.
Well, you can't, right? Like, no. I mean, there is a monitor that you can see, correct? Or at least on the desk, but you're not looking at it.
No, I'm looking at Shane or looking at the camera. I'm not looking down, because if I'm looking down for the whole broadcast, it's I have somebody in my ear screaming, look up. Yeah. Why are you doing that? But generally, I got to go back. And, you know, much like players, I go back and critique and, you know, watch through my fingers. Like, oh, that's terrible. Why are they allowing me to do this? But there was one guy, and he was a Boston Bruin fan, and he was clearly
– that's strike one.
Well, he was clearly not in the best shape. He was a little –
strike two.
A little banged up, and he was making these gestures behind us and then did this, like, mind-blown thing. And I remember watching it and just started laughing, going, that's hilarious. I don't ever want anybody to do that again. I just can't believe the amount of people who, like, think that I'm going to get behind these guys and then make some dumb face or chug a beer or whatever. Like, the folks who hold signs and all that's really – that's cool. That's fine. But the one that made me laugh was I went back and watched, and I had to watch it like three times because I'm like, what's this guy doing? And then, like, finally, I'll know something happened when security goes to move a guy away from Shane and what I'm doing over there. And security went to do that, and then the guy, like, made a face and kind of
made a beeline out of there.
He didn't run off, but he walked with a good pace to it. That was one. Two, a guy tried to jump on and get a selfie with us, like, right before we were going on the air.
Oh.
And I'm like, you got to back off. So that was funny. And when I say, like the barrier did not exist in his mind.
Yes.
Like, he was crossing Switzerland.
There is an actual physical barrier up around the desk just so people don't, you know, interfere with your job.
Exactly.
What you're doing.
Well.
But
doesn't stop
sometimes.
It doesn't stop them all that much.
That's at least the intention.
Yeah, and then just one time there were two fans who were jawing, and I could hear them, and I was trying not to laugh.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Well, the one thing that
it's weirder for me on the road.
Yeah,
like at home, it's kind of it's not annoying, but there are times where I just want to tell people, like, we're doing our job here.
Yeah,
can you?
Well, and you kind of know what.
And then there are times I want
to
laugh, but.
You kind of know what to expect because you're on the concourse and you know fans are going to be walking by. But on the road, it's a bit different because you're in a different location.
All the time.
And it's impressive. When I'm up in the press box watching warm-ups, when you're on television doing the pregame show, Hurricanes Live, it's loud up in the press box because of the pregame music. And then when you're down at ice level, it's even louder. So I don't know how you even function from game to game, honestly.
Just learn how to deal with it.
Do you tune it? I guess you tune it out eventually, but
you try. It's tough when
it gets loud.
It's tough when I have to hear people talk to me. Our producers in the truck, they're trying to say things to me or count me down or say that we don't have this video or go to this video, and you don't really hear it, so you just kind of guess. And luckily, I've worked with the pregame show producer now for 2 years, so we're on the same page most of the time. But there have been times where I've, like, skipped, and he's like, what? And he goes, I thought you said skip. He goes, no, I didn't say anything. I'm like, well, I'm here and stuff. Tampa Bay, by the way, is the worst place for me because of how loud it gets. It is mind-numbingly loud near the ice. Great building, great place to go watch a game. It really is, but... man, is that building loud.
Yeah, and so not only do you have the music just blaring down on you, but you also have pucks firing off the glass. That
doesn't bother me.
I don't know.
I don't see them coming, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's it.
Have you ever jumped because of one?
I think I flinched once.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's whatever. If it hits me in the head, what damage is that going to do to me?
It'd make for good TV.
Exactly. Well, that's why the
in-between. It'll end up on YouTube.
Yeah, the in-between the boards, they keep always asking, do you want a helmet when I'm in there? I'm like, no, I'll be fine.
Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Then if I get stitched up by trainer Doug Bennett, then so be it.
Speaking of behind the scenes, it's a good segue.
Oh, nice.
Before we wrap up the podcast, Inside the Storm, Canes Vision's been working on putting together all this behind-the-scenes footage that they've collected over the past, I would say, 4 months at least?
Yes.
You know, whether it's a camera inside scouting meetings rooms or behind the scenes at the draft or development camp, they've sort of been blending into the surroundings for the past 4 months. Now it's all coming together to
You're
tell.
You're a big part of behind the scenes at the draft.
Well. I didn't see myself.
No, but I mean, like, you're a big part of it because you know what's going on.
Yes.
Yes.
So episode 2 of Inside the Storm is now available on Hurricanes.com. 2 more episodes to go. They'll be released these next 2 Tuesdays, which will lead us nicely into Prospects Development yep. Camp in Traverse City. But check it out on Hurricanes.com. If you liked the content from inside the scouting meetings, there's plenty more of that in episode 2. You'll have guys going through potential draft picks, some stuff from the pro scout meetings, and you actually got to sort of sift through all that footage because it was just basically a GoPro, hit record, and go. So you yeah. had the tall task of basically sifting through all of that and finding stuff that could work in this long-form narrative piece. So what was that whole experience like? And what did you learn from it?
It was outstanding because I was literally the fly on the wall.
Yeah.
So what I learned from it is how much cooperation goes on between the scouts, where when they have a player, what they like, what they don't like, how disagreements get settled about a player, where they're at. Again, for the Hurricanes, things couldn't have worked out better getting the second selection because they were all pretty much every scout who saw Andrei Svechnikov play loved his game. And their job is to poke holes and say a player doesn't do this. That's one of the surprising things that people would find out about scouting meetings and when groups get together for the amateur side of things. These guys go through everything. They go through what kind of player are they, what kind of teammate are they, what kind of person are they. They have so many notes and they go back and forth. And if there's a player that they're on the bubble with where that conversation can go, it was cool to be a fly on the wall. And the NHL side, you know, the pro scouting department, it's funny to hear them either confirm what you think you know about a player or totally go the opposite way. When you think player A is this, and they're going to come out and be like, yeah, no, doesn't do this, this, and this. Or I don't think that player does this. Oh, he does this, this, and this. So those were, I think, the most revealing things for me. And it's really cool. We hope the fans like it because it's a really, really good inside look. And it's honest. I mean, because the scouts, once they start getting going and talking, they forget that there's a camera on. And some of the language isn't safe for work, but it's just how they get business done. And I hope that all the fans enjoy it.
You mentioned the amateur scouting meetings and making sure they cover their bases. And a guy like Luke Hinman, who is obviously, what, 6-something, but he's like 150 pounds, needs to add quite a bit of weight. But they noted that scouting meetings. They noted that, hey, you know what, this kid is a bit slight. But then they talked about, you know, his potential and what he projects as and what his hockey sense is like. And it's interesting to hear that discussion because that's what goes into ultimately on draft day when you're looking at players left on the board who you might want to pick. All of that discussion, that's when it comes to fruition. And so for a guy like that, they discuss him and say, hey, okay, you know, he's got he might not be the biggest guy at the moment, but he's got X, Y, and Z as upside, and that's why we should take him. So it's interesting to hear that discussion take place, and that's something fans can find in episode 2 of Inside the Storm.
Yeah, and I think everybody will really, really enjoy it. So that's just what it comes down to. And they note everything from how guys put on their skates to what Michael just said, where they'll talk, and sometimes they'll talk a little candidly, which is funny. Like, in the Luke Hinman situation, he needs to eat a steak, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think that people will like it, and it's good stuff. All right, also, we got tickets for sale, right?
Yeah,
for
individual game tickets on sale to the general public on Wednesday, August 22nd. But if you're on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, Instagram, any of those social media platforms, you have access to a special pre-sale beginning today. So and today, obviously, being Tuesday, August 21st. So log on if you're interested in getting individual game tickets. Yep. Opening night, October 4th here. It's a Thursday night against the New York Islanders here at PNC Arena. Should be an electric atmosphere. Opening night last year against Minnesota was a blast. It really was a blast. And the Hurricanes came away victorious in the shootout there. So looking forward to this season. Get your tickets and don't miss out on what should be a fun time.
Absolutely. And, of course, Caniac Carnival is coming up, and there's a wait list now for the tickets for the free game against Nashville, but you can put yourself on that wait list if you want to do that. You can do that at Hurricanes.com.
Yeah, because tickets might become available as we get closer to the event. So just get your name on the wait list, and you never know what could happen. But those the tickets that that were available were snagged in about 12 hours. It was very quick. The demand was very high. But get your name in on the wait list just in case some tickets become available. And you never know. You might get in to see that preseason finale between the Hurricanes and the Predators here on September 30th. But if you don't get into that, you can still come to Caniac Carnival. That's still completely free. The game's free, too. But you don't need a ticket for Caniac Carnival. You can show up. Parking's free. Yep. There's going to be plenty to do outside, food and beverage, inflatables, games, all sorts of stuff. So even if you can't come to the game, there's still going to be plenty to enjoy out on the South Plaza of PNC Arena.
So there you have it. And that'll do it for this episode 55 of the Canes Cast. I just got back from vacation, so a couple of errors. Hopefully I got myself back up to speed by the end of it.
And we'll be back with you sometime in September.
That's right, because you're going on vacation next
week.
Yeah,
now it's my turn for vacation.
Right. You have fun.
Thank you.
I certainly did.
That's good.
All right. So for the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We'll talk to you in about a week and a half or so.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Thank you.